Hello, everyone, and welcome to our next episode of the Berlin Electrolyzer podcast. With me today is, of course, our chairman, Bruno Pollet. Hello, Bruno.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you. And Thijs de Groot from HiCC. Hello, Thijs.
Yeah. Hello, Bernd. Nice to be here.
Fantastic to have you guys here today. Before we start our talk today, I would like to make a little announcement because we have just got a message from our new sponsor this week. Our conference will be sponsored by TFP Hydrogen. TFP Hydrogen is a leading supplier and developer of coatings for PEM electrolyzer components such as porous transport layers, PDLs, and bipolar plates. These coatings enable the electrolyzer to operate at a low voltage, increasing efficiency and extending lifetime, reducing the long-term cost of green hydrogen production. TFP Hydrogen also produce cost-effective catalysts which increase performance and improve long-term system durability, as well as non-woven GDL substrate used extensively in hydrogen fuel cells worldwide. So we are looking forward to a presentation by our sponsor, done by Dave Hodgson, Managing Director. Dave will be a guest on our podcast in one of the next episodes, by the way. And today is Thijs de Groot with us. Thijs is a technology developer at the hydrogen chemistry company, HiCC, where he leads the innovation activities in the field of water electrolysis. He is also a part-time associate professor in the field of electrochemical engineering at the Eindhoven University of Technology, where he focuses on improving the understanding of the zero gap in alkaline, AEM, and chloralkali electrolysis. Yeah, welcome, Thijs. Thijs, can you tell us a little bit about your company, HiCC? What are you doing at this company? Where does this company from? Where are you based?
Yes, happy to do so. So HiCC is a company that wants to develop large-scale water electrolysis plants and to own and operate these plants. Our heritage is, we are a young company, only exists since the beginning of this year. Actually, our heritage is Nobion, and if you go a bit further back, Akzo Nobel is actually the company we come from. Akzo Nobel had a long history in the chemical industry, base chemicals, and one of these base chemicals is salt and chloralkali. That business is now Nobion, and that business operates about a couple of hundred megawatts of chloralkali electrolyzers. So we have a long history in operating chloralkali plants and knowing how they can fail and how you can make them efficient and ensuring good reliability of the plant. And so we want to use that knowledge, that expertise, to also bring that to the field of water electrolysis.
So, Thijs, you have been working a lot with alkaline electrolysis in the past. So can you tell us a little bit about what are the advantages of alkaline water electrolysis compared to other technologies such as PEM, for example?
Yeah, maybe good to emphasize that we are not only, as HiCC, we're not only interested in alkaline electrolysis. We also closely consider the other technologies. And I must say that PEM at the moment is quite competitive with alkaline technologies. They're quite close. So for our projects, we consider both technologies. But since we have a heritage in chloralkali technology, that is where a lot of our expertise is. The cathodic reaction in chloralkali electrolysis is essentially the same as it is for alkaline water electrolysis. And if you compare the technologies, one of the big advantages of alkaline electrolysis over the others is that it has less dependence on critical raw materials, at least some of the alkaline. Not all, there are different types of alkaline technologies, but in principle, it's possible to do alkaline technology without critical raw materials. And that is, of course, if you compare the PEM with the iridium dependence and solid oxide, where you have a strong dependence on rare earth metals, which are in principle not very rare, but they are not widely available on this planet. So I think that's the major advantage of alkaline technology.
Thank you very much, Thijs. Great, actually. So I've got a question for you. In terms of the technology, how would you say that you are unique in the area? What would be your USP, let's say?
Now, it's good to emphasize that we are not making electrolyzers ourselves. Eh? We, as HyCC, we just buy electrolyzers off the market from suppliers, either alkaline or PEM technology. For us, it's really about the operating expertise and making the right choices when designing a project, designing the plant. But we depend on electrolyzer manufacturers to deliver good equipment.
So would you say you're a system integrator in that case or something like that?
Yes, but for us, the emphasis is really on owning and operating the plant. Okay. So we're not we are not an EPC company that that delivers a project and see here, there it is finished. So we move on to the next project.
Understood.
That's not, not where we are.
Okay, understood.
So you are mostly working in the chemical industry, I guess, right?
Yeah, we are, as HyCC, we are focused on large scale plants, and so focusing on the large scale use of hydrogen. So mostly the chemical industry, methanol and refineries and green steel, those type of applications, indeed.
So you're not limited to the chemical industry. You are really also reaching out to other industries who got decarbonized now.
Yeah, it is about circular economy, and we focus on large-scale applications where basically hydrogen is the only real solution. So not hydrogen cars. I think electric cars are a better solution. But yeah, to make green ammonia or green methanol, in the end, you need green hydrogen. There's no other way to otherwise bring the hydrogen into the molecule.
So how big can you see that market actually in your, you know, the sector that you are really tapping into? Do you think it's a big market for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, this is fair. Now, we are based in the Netherlands. Here, we have an industry that was traditionally based on natural gas. Yes. The Netherlands traditionally had a lot of natural gas. Now that is quickly closed down. So we have all these ammonia plants and methanol plants and refineries that kind of traditionally depended on still depend on steam methane reformers, and only replacing those plants that already exist, you need gigawatts of electrolyzers.
Yes,
in the Netherlands. So it's really a huge market.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on here what you're saying, and we need a lot of this electrolyzer on the market in order to actually really fulfill the demand of the market. And this is actually huge. We are only actually seeing the tip of the iceberg, as I say, not only in Europe, but also in the rest of the world. So for you, in order to be fast in that market, what are the main bottlenecks, would you say?
It's the technology. There are many bottlenecks. There are significant bottlenecks. Building a business case is still not easy. Although, yeah, currently it's quite difficult because natural gas prices are also super high. But still, it's not straightforward to build a strong business case for an electrolyzer. But that's not really my expertise. My focus is more on the technology side. And there we also see that the OEMs, the electrolyzer suppliers, are very much still developing and facing a number of technical hurdles, basically all of them. And so together with them, we try to overcome these hurdles. But those are hurdles. Just to mention a couple, safety we see as a very important aspect. There were large-scale water electrolysis plants in the past, 100 megawatt plus, but basically we cannot build them in the same way as we did in the past because the safety requirements we have today are significantly more strict than they were a century ago. So we have to do some redesign to really ensure that nothing will go wrong with our future plants. And another key aspect is the flexible operation. We want to operate these electrolyzers flexibly, being able to follow a wind or solar profile. And most electrolyzers are reasonably flexible. I think that applies to both alkaline and PEM, but it becomes a bit tricky when you really go to very low loads or when you need to shut down the electrolyzers. That's, we have all this experience in the chlor-alkali electrolyzer business, and there basically the last thing we want to do is shut down the electrolyzer. We want to keep it running forever. And now we say, yeah, but the sun is not shining at the night, so we need to shut down the water electrolyzer. And then there are all kinds of phenomena that start to occur in the electrolyzer. It can put the reverse currents that can potentially damage electrodes. And at the moment, no supplier can really give us the solid proof that their electrolyzer will work efficiently for 5 or more years operating on such a profile. So that the flexibility is also one of the major challenges that we need to overcome to really prove that electrolyzers can work reliably for a long time operating so flexibly.
I have a question. So when it comes to, we're talking about safety issues and this minimum load problem that you just mentioned, and that it is a big problem to turn off the electrolyzer. So, but these are problems that, can they be technically solved in the future? I mean, I think it's not such a big problem for PEM than for alkaline electrolyzers, but how can we really to solve these problems by innovation or maybe also drive down the costs by economies of scale? Can you say us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so definitely these problems will be solved. Eh? It's not like there are no solutions. It just takes time. And it's one of the reasons why we also in developing our projects, but also our competitors face challenges. And that some of the timelines are not as fast as we want them to be. But we will solve this. We need to do some research, for example, on what can we further reduce the minimum loads by making some changes to the pressure of the operation or whatever, and by developing better electrodes. Those things we can overcome. And then, if you overcome these, then of course there's always still the drive to further reduce costs, because the cheaper we can make the green hydrogen, the better. And there is still a lot of potential there by economies of scale. So building larger plants, again, it's in the chemical industry, it's just the rule of thumb that the bigger your plant becomes, the cheaper it becomes. That some people argue that it's less so for electrolyzers. I think for the electrolyzer itself, that is true. You will never build a single stack 1 gigawatt electrolyzer. I don't think they will be much bigger than 10, maybe 20 megawatts. It's really kind of the upper limit I see. But the electrolyzer is actually only a relatively small part of the total cost of a plant. It's, I think, even less than 10% or so. There are so much other costs. The power supply, gas liquid separation, compression, cooling, the whole the engineering, there are civil works. And those costs generally do scale very well. So there, building a bigger plant is definitely a better, will make it cheaper. And then, other aspect, economies of numbers, also very interesting. So if we just build more electrolyzers, they become cheaper, just because suppliers are able to automate their production lines, so that we see that already happening today, that suppliers are doing that, and because of that they're saying, yeah, now we can reduce the price we ask to you, ICC. So that is still a major driver for cost reduction. And then there's still a lot of room for innovation, because it's surprising. In my view, there's really a lot we can do on the membranes and the electrodes and the cell design in a technology like alkaline electrolysis that I know the best, but I'm sure that for PEM and solid oxide and AEM, it's all a similar. There's much more. There's still so much we don't know, in my view. The more I know about it, the more I realize sometimes how little I know. That's a bit how I feel about electrolyzers technology. And it also indicates to me that there's so much potential to further improve the technology in terms of performance and hence costs.
Chase, when you're looking at the coming 10 to 20 years, what is your expectation? Will the available different electrolyzer technologies play an equal role in the market for green hydrogen, or will one of these technologies emerge as a gold standard in the long run? What do you think?
Yeah, there's a bit of, at least today it's too early to say which technology will win. I want to emphasize that. I do believe that probably one of the technologies will be dominant in the long run. That happened with solar. So we don't have 10 different types of solar panels around today. They all look pretty similar. So I think something similar will happen to electrolyzer technology, that, for example, if you build a big electrolyzer and a solar park in the desert, that you take technology A because technology A is just the best. What it could be is that for an offshore wind farm with an electrolyzer also offshore, that then you go for technology B because technology B has a lower footprint. So I do see different markets potentially for different technologies, but I don't think for the same market that we will 10, 20 years from now have different technologies that are then almost equally competitive, because that's the only way in which you could then have them next to each other. I don't think that will be the case. So one of them will then probably be dominant.
Well, that is great. Thank you very much indeed. Bernd, do you have any more questions?
I think we have talked all the interesting points over here. I mean, in principle, we can maybe even talk for another hour here. No problem, I guess. But I think it's good for today, Bruno. So do you have any more questions?
No, that's fine. I think it was very interesting, actually, perspective from Thijs on this. This is really, I totally agree. I totally agree what you're saying here. There's so much scope and there's so much really things to look into in electrolyzer. You know, in terms of materials, in terms of cost, in terms of performance, efficiency, balance of plant, etc. I think it's really, you know, we are it's quite exciting times, but we need to find solutions very quickly in order to get into the to produce that hydrogen, right? So it's the time is against us in a way.
This is absolutely true. Thank you very much, Thijs, for your precious time here and for joining us and for sharing some insights. And I want to say to all our listeners out there, we will discuss these and other questions very intensively 2 days in Berlin, December 7, 8. Thijs will also join us with a presentation. We are very much looking forward for your insights you will give us and to finally meet in person, I have to say. This is also, I'm very much looking forward to that. And Bruno, also thank you for having everyone here. And this is it for today. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.